Since the days when Myrtle Avenue around the corner was nicknamed Murder for cautionary reasons, the days before crews from the city came to dismantle the yellow cane seats and leather hand straps of the elevated train, the days when men who built ships at the Navy Yard used to travel in packs with their cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves and curtsy at women and hoot, the days when several generations of family overflowed onto their stoops in the summer. 66 years she had spent at the same window. Of course, there was much that remained. The magisterial art students from the nearby institute, their fashions shifting, but their insolence and unwieldy bags of supplies the same. The steady pour between 6 and 7 o'clock of those with jobs in Manhattan, the grunting up their stairs, nearly collective. At her core, Edith believed herself to be the same person she'd been at 5, 12, 23, and so aging was mostly a point of interest, almost an entertainment were it not for its increasingly tangible interceptions in her daily life. Were these really her veins? A purple so bright as to seem inorganic? Her hair, thin and staticky, so reluctant to cooperate? She forgot sometimes that these were hers, and more recently other things, gaps she found amusing or depressing, depending. Using a can opener became a deliberate, thought-through act. While reading, she had to concentrate, or else she was likely to follow some memory around a low-lit corner. Her daughter Jenny's first birthday, the living room vibrant then and filled to the ceiling with balloons the baby didn't know whether to carouse with or to fear. She and Declan, just married, and new owners of the building, naked and sweating out August in one of the apartments yet to be rented, her linen dress balled under her head as a buffer between her tawny waves and the hardwood floor, his expression so different than when he'd courted her with flowers and offered handkerchiefs. How feeble.